Hello and welcome to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. My name is Jim Storer and I'm joined by my capable co-host, Shannon Abram. Shannon?
Hi, Jim. We are excited, as always, to be here with a new episode of Conversations with Community Managers. And we are joined by someone who is experiencing wonderful weather right now, Lily McDonald. Hi, Lily. How are you?
Good. Hi, Shannon. Hi, Jim.
Lily is in Austin, and I am in Boston, and the weather is very different in our two places today. Lily, I'd love if you could kick us off by just sharing a little bit about you, your background, and then we'll sort of dive into the conversation.
Sure. So I have been doing community management for over 10 years. I've managed everything from the old school V-Bulletin forum boards, social media networks, enterprise communities. I've kind of done it all. I really enjoy working in this field because I think it encompasses my skill set pretty well. Everything from, content development to user engagement, technical development, strategic thinking. And, I love it all. Like I love the routine processes, operations, and I love, thinking of the bigger picture and planning out my year and our roadmap. And it's just been, a pretty great career path for me so far. I currently don't have a position, so I am looking, and I'm open to a lot of different opportunities because there's a lot of that you can do with community management.
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing a lot of interest in organizations that maybe hadn't traditionally thought community was something for them, but they are actively pursuing it now with, everyone working from home and, needing to come up with different ways of engaging with clients and employees. So I think there's a huge amount of opportunity out there. In fact, I'm speaking with an organization later this afternoon that is heading down that path after, considering it for years. So I do think there's a lot of opportunity out there. And I love that you mentioned V-Bulletin because that was one of the platforms that I experienced community on very early in my career. And, I think I still kind of reference V-Bulletin communities and some of the engagement that I saw there and tactics that the community team and some of the advocates were using there because a lot of best practices were created, 15, 20 years ago using platforms like V-Bulletin.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it even if it's just a forum board, that's kind of the core of some communities. And it's really what really drives that peer-to-peer discussion.
Right. So you have a really strong background in community platform management. And, it seems like you've really used a lot of different platforms. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So I guess it sort of happened organically. I've always been a more technical person. When I was a teenager, updating my MySpace page with HTML and that kind of got me started down that path of learning how to do web design and web development. So I think that platform management, again, just came organically to me because it was something I enjoyed doing. But I think it evolved for me when I realized that there was this need for the business side to connect with our developers that were working on our community platforms. So I made it a point to, get certified on these platforms and even learn how to do a little bit of development myself, just so that I could be that middleman between the business and the developers and help write requirements or be the subject matter expert or whatever that need was.
And you brought out another blast from the past by saying MySpace. Can you talk a little bit about some of the platforms you've worked with, community platforms in particular, and some of the awards you've received and or expertise you've developed using those platforms?
Sure. So mostly I've used Koros and the old Jive, which I guess now is Jive X. I have been a super user on the Koros platform since 2000, 6 officially. I am a member of the Super User Program on the Koros community, and I've gotten every certification that they offer from Community Management 1 and 2. They used to have social care. They have a developer certification. So I just learned as much as I possibly could, because not only is it interesting to me and something that I enjoy, but again, it helps me so much in my daily work, where I don't have to spend more time doing research on how do I get this tool to work. I already know, and I can just, you know, fly through whatever it is I'm working on.
Right, right. I'm wondering about, to kind of dive more into your technical expertise on community platforms, because that's something that in our research and interviewing community managers, the technical side isn't necessarily a skill set we see a lot. So I'm wondering if you have advice for other community managers that recognize that that might be a blind spot. And do you have advice that could help them to start to dip their toe in the water and get a little bit more comfortable with that aspect of, community program management?
For me, it was, really understanding how I learn best, which is basically like reading and diving into the materials that are available to me. So my recommendation is if you learn best that way, then, go dive into, the knowledge bases or the manuals that are provided for your platform and start to get as familiar with it as you can. If you learn better with videos, a lot of these platforms offer, online training. If you learn better with, like one-on-one coaching, I know that some platforms offer product coaching now. So I would say, think about how you learn best and go do that. With the Koros platform, they have a lot of different knowledge bases and articles. And every time there's something new that comes out, I will literally read every single knowledge article that they have on it, even if I'm not putting it into, immediate practice. So just so that I'm familiar with it. I'm very active in the Koros community. I'm reading almost every new post that comes out. I'm answering questions. So even though these questions aren't helping me with my daily work, I'm helping somebody else, which honestly, in the long term, it will help me in my daily work, because it's helping me think about problems that I might not ever encounter, but it's helping me learn the platform better. So yeah, again, for me, the advice is just learn what you can and put it into practice, whether that's in your own community or not.
It's, I want to highlight one of the things you said, because I think it's worth repeating. And I think it's a really powerful idea, which is, these platforms, they may not necessarily advertise that you can talk to product managers and you can get product training, but it really behooves them to support community practitioners in that way. And, shame on them if you ask and they don't provide that resource, because it seems like that would be, I would argue, a real miss on their part if they're not willing to kind of level folks up that may not have the technical chops coming in, but they'll only become more powerful users of the platform.
Definitely. And if you are more comfortable with the platform and you're using it for, longer periods of time, you're probably going to become an advocate for it, regardless of where you're working. You just, adapt to it, and it's something that you prefer. And with the online training, it's definitely a weaker area, I think. I only just recently saw that there was product coaching being offered through Koros. I think that came out sometime within the last year. I've looked at a lot of their videos, and they could be much more robust than they are. So, I definitely agree with you. It's a huge opportunity for these platforms.
All right, so I'm just going to do a shout out to all of those product managers at community platforms that are listening right now. If you don't currently shout from the rooftops that you're open for conversations with community managers about how to manage the technical side of your platform, please start.
Oh, geez. We're really laying down the hammer? Is that what we're gauntlet? The gloves? I don't know. My metaphors are getting all mixed up.
The gloves are off.
Gloves are off. Although it might be an interesting opportunity to sort of in the network compile a list of all those things. I mean, that's I don't have any idea who does what and where, but it might be a helpful resource for us to think about. So we're innovating in real time, guys. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit. Community managers have a long to-do list, and I think maybe longer than ever now, as the world is realizing that community is an effective and efficient way to communicate and collaborate. Do you have any ideas for how people can be more efficient with operations and community development, especially if there are so many people who are a team of one or on a small, overworked team? I think that sort of efficiency could be extra helpful right now.
Definitely. So in my experience, I was previously working with National Instruments. Our community was over 500,000 users. It had been on the Quoros platform for 15 years. We even had a separate community on Jive for a while. And I was a team of one. And that's a pretty huge undertaking. So now there was a period of time where there was more people on the community team. But you know, towards the end of my time there, it was just me that was dedicated to community. So something that I did was I defined and standardized as much as I could. So the first step was defining our use cases. What do we use user groups for? What do we use a forum board for, a knowledge base? When would we stand up a new idea exchange? So all of this was defined, you know, in writing, where anybody internally could look that up. And that would help us, you know, with what's the next step. Okay, so we've decided we need a new forum board. Well, what are all the steps that would go into creating that? And I don't mean the like technical steps of, you know, open up the admin console and click on this button, because all that is already defined, you know, within your platform documentation. But for us, you know, maybe there was internal steps that we needed to take to make that forum board happen. So all of that was documented. And then if we had policies, internal policies around what do we expect of, you know, a product owner when we create a new forum board for them, all of that was defined. So it was a lot of work to put all of this in writing, but it was worth it because then anytime, you know, we were approached with these questions of, hey, what would it take to create a new knowledge base? Well, you know, here's all the documentation readily available to you. And then not only was it defined to help us with getting started, but then I was able to delegate that to others. So even though I was, you know, a team of one, solely dedicated to community, I did have other resources, luckily for me, that I, you know, that were also helping out with some community tasks. So I had like an operations analyst that would take on some tasks from the community team. So because all this again was clearly defined, they were able to pick up those tasks that I didn't necessarily need to manage myself. And you know, being able to just pass off those smaller tasks is huge because they add up. But especially in a community, you know, that large, you're surprisingly doing a lot of those menial tasks.
I think that's really great advice, not just from the, I mean, obviously like the lightening your load, but being able to say to someone that comes to you, yeah, no, we have documentation for that, sort of just like kicks up the level of like, yeah, this is a real serious thing. Like it's not just like, oh, the community's a thing and we kind of do it, but it's like, no, there's processes around these. This is a documentation. It definitely elevates the gravitas of it.
Definitely.
In the eyes of stakeholders or executives who might not be bought in yet.
All right. Lily, can you tell us a little bit about, I mean, we've heard about the platforms. Can you tell us a little bit more about the communities? Were they primarily customer communities? Were there some employee communities that you were also responsible for?
No, most of the communities I've been responsible for were focused on, you know, B2B customer engagement and support.
Got it. Okay. What's fascinating is with so many people working remotely right now, we're seeing a huge resurgence of, you know, from the employee side of people trying to figure out how to collaborate with one another, but also, you know, organizations, as I said, kind of at the top that are looking at building community. And so we're seeing a lot of community managers being pulled in a lot of different directions. And so I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about the ways you'd recommend they set boundaries or whatever they need to do to help avoid the burnout that may come from, you know, kind of being pulled into so many different projects.
Right. And I think that actually ties back into what I was previously saying with having your use cases defined and, you know, everything in writing so that when you do get approached with what you're saying, like getting pulled into other directions, I think it helps you say no. If you have these policies, you know, previously defined and you're approached with a new idea of, hey, maybe we should have a forum board to do X, Y, and Z, point to your policies and just say, you know, no, this isn't, you know, this isn't a use case that we support. And I know it's hard to say no when you're being asked, you know, from management. But sometimes you have to put your foot down as best as you can.
Great advice. And we do some work with clients to help them put, it's almost like I think of it as a gatekeeper, right? Because you've got all these business units that are coming at the community team, or in some cases, the lone wolf community practitioner asking for communities, and you really need to make sure there's a business case there. And so we put this request form in place ahead of any community launches that helps the business unit understand what's involved and also forces them to articulate who's supporting it, how it's going to be rolled out, what's the business case, and that sort of thing. So great advice there.
Yeah, definitely a form is really powerful. You know, you can predefine all those questions like you're talking about and get the requester to answer those questions for you. And you'll find more often than not, if they're struggling to answer, they probably won't end up going through with the request to, you know, stand up something new in your community.
And it's a forcing function too, right? So it creates a dialogue that may not have happened because they're starting to understand the depth and breadth of launching a community. And then if you jointly come to the decision that this is a really good idea and we should launch this community, it also gives you this this documentation of what that team had articulated. And so you can go back 6 months, a year later, and really match it up with reality and say, are you holding up your end of the bargain? So that's, you know, it's, I think, a good approach. And I think you started to articulate, you know, defining the use cases and you know, maybe that's a good approach for organizations.
Right. And I think, you know, having a set checkpoint of, okay, well, sure, we'll stand this up for you, but let's check back in and, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. And if they're not meeting any benchmarks that you may have set, or, you know, their metrics aren't looking too great, you know, then maybe that's an opportunity for you to pull that thing down.
Awesome. Well, all right. So Shannon, on to the speed round.
Yes. It is time to kick off our speed round, which is a new addition to the podcast and very exciting. Lily, are you ready?
I think I'm ready.
Okay, ready? First question, just go with your gut. Cat or dog?
Dog.
Oh, see, it's so quick. I love the quick answers. And it's the right answer, in my opinion.
We're both dog people.
Thanks.
All right, favorite ice cream flavor?
Rocky Road.
Ooh, that is very specific. Do you have someone or something that is a community inspiration for you? You spend a lot of time working in community. Is there anyone who's either work you admire or who has been sort of a professional mentor for you?
Definitely Brian Oblinger. I was working with him at Data Robot. I applied for that job just because I saw that it was him that was hiring. Before I ever got to work with him, I always admired, you know, all the content he put out, all the, you know, conferences he spoke at, and, you know, I have a lot of respect for him.
That's so nice. Will he be surprised to hear that, or does he know that?
Oh, he should know.
Oh, okay. Either way, it's an exciting and really nice thing. That's why we asked this question, because it's just so nice to hear, you know, in my experience, and I've worked with community people for 6 years now. Community people are really nice people. You have to really like people to be a good community manager, I think. And so I love these answers.
All right. I don't think we're asking for an answer like Rocky Road, but what are you binging right now?
It could be Rocky Road, though.
I am always binge watching The Office. I have probably watched it through like 16 times. Like it is always on in the background.
Are you watching? Huh? Are you watching John Krasinski's new talk show?
No, I have not. I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard of it.
Oh my goodness! You have. I mean, if you like The Office, you have to watch it. It's. I think there's only three episodes, but it's really good. You should check it out.
Sounds heartwarming.
It is heartwarming in a world where, yeah, my heart could be used to be warmed a little bit more.
Definitely.
So you said you've worked from home for a long time.
Yes.
Do you have now, a lot of the world is working from home for the first time. Do you have a work from home hack that helps you stay happier, more productive, sane?
For me, it's really just setting boundaries and schedules, timing everything, you know, waking up at the same time if possible, setting aside time to eat lunch. I make it a point to not eat lunch at my desk, you know, to step away from my laptop for a little bit, eat, you know, in the kitchen. And if possible, you know, again, set a boundary for when you're stopping work. And I know that this isn't possible for everyone, especially for those people who aren't used to working from home or have their families at home right now. It's hard to have that, you know, typical, you know, 9 to 6 schedule or whatever it may be, but the best that you possibly can to set those boundaries, that's my biggest recommendation.
And our last speed round question, which has always been a question we've asked, what is your community superpower?
So I was asked this question when I filled out the CR you know, user profile for those of us who are looking for jobs. And I said, resilience. And I said resilience because, you know, it's tough losing your job and it's tough with everything going on in the world right now. But even without those, you know, major things going on, I say resilience just because you have to be tough with community management. Often you are the one that's getting, you know, all the blowback, all the user complaints, and hopefully some positive feedback from users as well. But a lot of that's being funneled through you. And I think it's just so important to, you know, stay strong and advocate for your users when you can and set boundaries with them as well.
That's a great answer. I don't know, Shannon, if we've ever heard resilience as an answer for the community superpower, but I agree that that's kind of a core trait of good community practitioners, is that ability to absorb a lot and bounce back. So, well, Lily, we had a great time talking with you today, and we wish you the best of luck, and we're in your corner, and we're going to help however we can to find you your next gig. So thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Lily.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.